So today we're going to hear a word from the prophet Habakkuk. As I followed pastors on Facebook this week, many of them admitted they had never preached from this text from Habakkuk. As the conversations continued and the pastors got a bit more vulnerable, many admitted they had never really read the book of Habakkuk, except for a few verses here or there. And honestly, I don't know if the discussion was ever finalized. Is it Habakkuk? Habakkuk? I don't know if pastors know how to say it either. But we're going to hear, because Habakkuk is such a little-known prophet, I have some things about him. So he's one of 12 minor prophets that we hear from in the Bible. One thing, or the only thing known about Habakkuk, is that he was a prophet. That's all we know about him. If you could pick probably a theme from his book, it would be something like this: if God is the upholder of justice, why does injustice flourish? And the book of Habakkuk was probably written sometime before the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And I think Habakkuk saw what was coming. So here is our reading. It jumps around. There's a section from chapter 1, then chapter 2, then chapter 3. And the title is The Prophet's Complaint. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vine, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. How do we wait? It's a cry heard on the streets of Ferguson these past weeks and months. It's a cry that spread like wildfire to other cities across the United States. Perhaps it's not a cry in response to one particular case where we may never know the full truth of all or all of the details about what happened, as it is a response to the fact that there still is racial disparity in our U.S. justice system, and that racism is not a scar, it's not something from our past, but it's a wound that is still open. It's an injustice that continues to bleed. How do we wait? It's a cry that I hear every time I take our youth to feed my starving children and see pictures of malnourished children clinging to life. Perhaps the pictures are some of those 18,000 to 20,000 children who die every day because of hunger and malnutrition. It's definitely a picture of one of the 850 or so million people who go to bed every night hungry. How do we wait? It's a cry that goes up through the voices of citizens in the countries in our world run by dictators who are responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed upon their own citizens. How do we wait? It's a cry that we hear from anybody whose body has been ravaged by cancer or multiple sclerosis or ALS or any other terminal or debilitating disease. How do we wait? It's a cry of this man named Habakkuk, about whom very little else is known other than he was a prophet. Perhaps this prophet's cry is in response to Assyrian armies invading Judah. Not long before the time of this prophet, the powerful Assyrian army had destroyed city after city. And we know that not long after this prophet was written, the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar would attack Jerusalem time and again, and they would take the city's leaders and their skilled workers into exile. And finally, in 587 BC, those armies would destroy the city of Jerusalem and its temple. Like the people today of Syria or Sudan or Iraq, for the prophet Habakkuk, violence is truly all around. The law has become slack, and justice never prevails. So during this season of Advent, the time of waiting and anticipation, particularly this first Sunday in Advent, when we began our time of worship together by lighting a candle that's often called the candle of hope, the cry of how do we wait becomes the question of how do we wait? How do we wait with hope when so much around us seems awfully hopeless? It was the question of Habakkuk. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? How are we supposed to wait when violence and injustice are all around? His response is part of a tradition of passages in the Old Testament that issue complaints against God for seeming inaction in the midst of our struggles as people. Here are some other examples. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Or Psalm 89, how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Or Lamentations 5, but you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we might be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. And yet, for this prophet Habakkuk, violence and injustice are not the end. Even in the midst of hopelessness, as he writes, when the fig tree will not blossom, no fruit is on the vine, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no herds in the stalls, there is hope in the Lord. And our lesson concludes with these words. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. God is faithful. God can be trusted. God knows our anxieties. God knows that life is hard right now. But he continues to be there for us, to provide strength even when we're not sure how we can carry on. Like Habakkuk, who wondered how things were going to go for God's people in Old Testament times, God knows that we worry about our future. God knows that we contemplate where and how life is going to end for us. And yet the answer that Habakkuk gives to the questions of those unknown parts of our lives is one that God's people have given time and time again. A simple affirmation of faith. In chapter 2, verse 4, he writes, "The righteous live by their faith." God is faithful. Put your trust in Him. Our hopes for the future rest with God, not in our own hands. As Psalm 100 says, "For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations." God is faithful. We're reminded during the season of Advent that we live in in-between times. What then are we to do as we wait with hope during this season? Well, we go about our lives. We live, and we work, and we rest, and we love, and we pray. And like Habakkuk says, we rejoice in the Lord, the God of our salvation. We continue to work against the forces of injustice and violence in our world. We continue to open our mouths. We continue to use our hands to be agents of change in this world. We strive to follow Jesus, to love others even as He loved us, to preach good news to a world that could really use some. And we continue to lament the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world. And we do all of these things without having any control or knowledge about the outcome. But we know that God is faithful, and He will see us through these times just like He has seen His people through hard times all the way from the beginning of Scripture. Biblical author Susan Guthrie writes, "This sense of living through these days of Advent is like wandering through the desert, searching for some hope, searching for some peace, for some joy, for some love, and for some light. These are gifts of God, and they are real. And yet at times they elude us. They are almost within our grasp, and yet we are not quite there yet." And so we live in faith and confidence, trusting that all that we are, all that we have, and all that we hope to be belong to the Lord. And we repeat this simple statement of belief passed down through the ages: God is faithful, and we wait. We wait to see what this faithful God is going to do. And our faithful God has made a promise. The promise that Christ is coming into the world. And on this first Sunday of Advent, that is our hope. God is going to enter this world in the form of a child. And in the meantime, we are called to remember the simple yet profoundly deep word of hope, that God is faithful. Ann Weems is the wife of a Presbyterian minister, and on August 14th, 1982, Ann's son Todd died less than an hour after his 21st birthday. In the years after that loss, she gave voice to her continuing grief, to her continuing rage, and to her continuing struggle of faith in a series of beautiful psalms of lament. The result is a remarkable compilation that not only helped her heal through this remarkably difficult process, but it's helped thousands of others heal as well. The book is simply called Psalms of Lament, and here is a section from her work. "In the God-forsaken, obscene quicksand of life, there is a deafening alleluia rising from the souls of those who weep, and of those who weep with those who weep. If you watch, you will see the hand of God putting the stars back in their skies, one by one." A faithful God, working for our future.